Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Genesis and chapter 5. When you begin to read this chapter, you may wonder why, again, it's in the Bible. There are totally different reasons now from 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It seems to be a list of names and how long people lived and families. It's a family tree. But it's a very important part of the scriptures. I'll read it without any further explanation. Let's hear the inspired and infallible word of God. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years and he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. And he begot Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enosh lived 90 years and begot Canaan. After he begot Canaan, Enosh lived 815 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. After he begot Mahalalel, Canaan lived 840 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Canaan were 910 years and he died. Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. After he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 and had years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. After he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Lamech lived 182 years and had a son. He called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord had cursed." After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Let's pray. We thank you, our God, for the Holy Scriptures. We thank you that you are the God who has spoken the truth through your servants down through the ages, all of them pointing in one way or other to our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that as we consider this passage of Scripture this morning and consider what it is to walk with God and to have eternal life, we pray that you would teach us by your Holy Spirit the way of truth, that we may know you, our God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Enoch was different. One of the reasons why I read the entire chapter was to highlight that Enoch was different. He stood out in the crowd. He stood out among his contemporaries. Someone is called him the brightest star of the patriarchal age. But he stood out because he was different. Here was a man who walked with God. And as we will see, unlike all those who preceded him and those who came after him, he did not die. God removed him, but he did not die like the rest of the human race. Now, we live in a world in which we are easily influenced by what the majority says and does and thinks. What is right, what is lawful, what is politically correct is what is acceptable, largely speaking, to the majority of people. Enoch was not like that. He did not draw his inspiration for his life from those around him. He was different. He was not interested in pleasing the world. He was interested in pleasing God during his 365 days on the earth. He did not think, well, what do my neighbours think? What would they like me to do? Rather, he thought, what does the Lord my God require of me? Enoch then was, as it were, the salt of the earth. He was as a light shining in a dark place. We read in verse 21, he lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I want to look with you this morning briefly at four things about Enoch. The days in which he lived. Secondly, the character that he displayed. Thirdly, the principle that he lived by. And fourthly, the reward that he received. The days in which he lived then, first of all. They were strange days in many ways. The men who we've been describing here lived almost for a millennium, 1,000 years. Now, you boys and girls, you probably know who the oldest man was. It was Methuselah. And he lived 969 years. There were others who lived almost as long as Methuselah. Enoch was on this earth only for 365 years. It was short by comparison. Now, the line of Adam that is described here, and the genealogy, the family tree, is not the only part of the human race. There were other human beings who were the descendants of Cain. That is the Cain who killed Abel. The seventh in the line of the Cainites was a man called Lamech. And we read of him in chapter 4 and verse 19 that he took two wives. He twisted the marriage ordinance that God had given. One man, one wife, one flesh. And then, having done that, he boasted in chapter 4, verse 23, boasted to those wives of the vengeance that he had taken. He'd killed a man for the wounding. He had wounded him. So he killed him. And it tells us that perhaps, although the world was not totally corrupt at that time, nevertheless sin was present in the world. And sin developed, and the earth, we find in chapter 6 and verse 11, was filled with violence. Sin was to be found everywhere. Enoch was different. He was the seventh in the line of Adam. And he walked with God. But the days in which he lived were wicked days. People lived long lives, but they died. Death was universal. 8 times in this chapter. So-and-so lived so many years, and he died. It's like the toll of a funeral bell as you read through this chapter. There is life and there is death outside of the Garden of Eden. There was a time when there was no death in the Garden of Eden. But when Adam and Eve sinned, when they disobeyed God, then sin entered into this world and death came with sin. Death came because God had said, in the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. And then after that event, before God drove them out of the Garden of Paradise, he had said to Adam, in the sweat of your brow, you shall eat bread. You will return to the ground. Out of it you were taken. Dust you are, and to dust you will return. You will die. Death was universal. Physical death. That is the separation of body and soul. And that is the penalty of sin. That is the judgment of God because of Adam's disobedience. Now, those who died in chapter 5, none of them were killed like Cain killed Abel and like Lamech killed a man for wounding him. But nevertheless, death reigned from Adam. It spread to all men. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 5. All have sinned. Death is universal. And death is universal and death reigns. Why? Because sin is universal. These are the days in which Enoch lived. Although we read in chapter 6 and verse 3 that Adam begot a man, a son in his own likeness, after his own image. This man, Seth, as he grew up, was not the holy and happy man that Adam had been in the Garden of Eden. Because now he was in Adam's likeness and Adam had become a sinful man. He had disobeyed God. He would die. And Seth and his descendants from him were all corrupted by sin. And you have many examples of the way in which sin reigns and is universal in these opening chapters of Genesis, from chapter 4 to chapter 11. We've already mentioned Cain. You remember how John described him as being of the wicked one. His deeds were evil. We've mentioned Lamech. And a few weeks ago, we were looking at the days of Noah. And remember there, we didn't comment on it, but the sons of God, chapter 6 and verse 2, saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. And it seems as if there was a mixing of the people of God, those who professed to know God, and those who were of this world. And then in chapter 6 and verse 5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart, the imaginations of his heart, was only evil continually. Death was universal. Sin was rampant. Sin was universal. And so the days in which Enoch lived were not days when godliness and righteousness characterized the human race. They were not anything like paradise and Eden. Sin had got a firm grip upon the human race and upon the human heart. And death, the judgment of God, was inevitable. Now I know that we read at the end of chapter 4 that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. That is true. How many began to call upon the name of the Lord? We're not exactly told. But Enoch was certainly one of those. And we will come to that in a moment. But by and large, it seems from the testimony of chapter 4, the testimony of chapter 6 and 7, and what happened after the flood, the testimony is that men and women walked after the corrupt desires of their own wicked hearts. They walked in sin. They did what appeared to be good and right in their opinion. And there was no fear of God and no shame for their sin. True, some of them became famous. You read in the line of Cain's descendants. Some of them became stock breeders and shepherds. Some of them became musicians. Some of them became craftsmen in bronze and iron. And they gained a fame for themselves in that way. But few gained fame for godliness, because they feared and served the one true living God, the maker of heaven and earth. So the world then that Enoch grew up in and lived in was a world where God was not reverenced by and large. Sin was advancing and developing daily. Now it's against that dark backcloth then we read secondly of the character that he displayed. He was different. He was very different from his contemporaries. We read twice in the brief section concerning Enoch, once in verse 22 and again in verse 24, that Enoch walked with God. The seventh from Adam in the line of Cain was wicked Lamech. The seventh from Adam in the line of Seth walked with God. Now that phrase, walked with God, is used only of Enoch and of Noah in chapter 6 and verse 9. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And it is also used at the end of the Old Testament in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 6, where it describes the Levitical priests who stood in a closer relationship to the Lord in the Old Testament because they entered the most holy place and they enjoyed close contact with God. Now there are other phrases in the Bible that talk about walking before God, walking after God, but this is a distinctive phrase, walking with God. And that stands out in chapter 5. There is no one else described in this chapter as walking with God. There is a deliberate change of expression in verse 22. Instead of Enoch living 300 years, we read Enoch walked with God. There is a break of the pattern, the break of the rhythm. It's deliberate. You see, to live for Enoch meant to walk with God. That was his life. That was the very air that he breathed. That is what describes him accurately and completely. What does that mean? It means that he enjoyed and he maintained a close, confidential fellowship with the infinite yet personal God who had made him and who had made the heavens and the earth. He was walking as if God were by his side and he was by the side of God. He was walking, as it were, with his eyes fixed upon God. But God's eye was fixed upon him. They were almost, can I say it without appearing irreverent? They're almost walking arm in arm. He was walking with God. And to walk with God was his care. It was the course of his life. It was his business, day in, day out. That was the kind of man that he was. He had a hunger, a thirst, a longing to be with God and to walk with God and to please God. And in Enoch, godliness reached a peak. Just as in Lamech, ungodliness reached new depths. When he made the sword his God, Enoch reached new heights because he walked with God. He was like Noah, a just man, perfect in his generations. That does not mean he was sinless, but it means he was marked by a righteousness, a blamelessness, a distinctive characteristic by consistency, by integrity. So this man then walked with his God. He knew him. He loved him. He served him. And our Bibles tell us, as we read further on into the New Testament, That if a man walks with God, if a man knows God and knows his Son Jesus Christ, that is to possess eternal life. And I don't think, therefore, it is too much to suggest that Enoch knew God and Enoch possessed eternal life in that sense. For him to live was to know God. For Paul, it was Christ. And for Enoch, it was walking with God. That was his life. That is what it meant for him. That is how important it was to him. Now the Bible tells us, one of the prophets, Amos, tells us and asks the question, can two people walk together unless they are in agreement? It's an obvious answer then to that question. You sometimes hear and see, sadly, car park in a out walking. You see a husband and a wife. They're having a slanging match. They're throwing insults and abuse at each other. It's always very sad to see. They're not walking together in agreement. Enoch and God, and Enoch particularly from his side, was one who was walking with God. The New Testament, the book of Jude, it's a very short book, but tells us in verses 14 and 15 that unlike Cain, Genesis chapter 3, unlike Balaam, a false prophet, in Numbers, in the days of Moses, Enoch was a prophet. And a prophet is one who speaks God's word, who speaks the truth for God. And Enoch spoke in his day as a faithful witness. And he spoke about the judgment of God upon the ungodliness of the age in which he lived. Now he would have been the worst kind of hypocrite, wouldn't he not? If he himself had been exactly like his generation, men stood up and said, I have a message from God, and God is going to judge all your ungodliness. But he excluded himself. That is unthinkable. That is unthinkable, that he would be like that. He would not denounce ungodliness and then be ungodly himself. He was a faithful servant and prophet of God. He walked with God, and the things God hated, he hated. And God appointed him as a judge over that generation in which he lived. Now we're not told of any of that activity here in Genesis chapter 5. But that is told us in the New Testament. And it is part of that display of his righteousness and what it meant for him to walk with God. So what is the explanation for this? Why is this man different? What is his secret? Because he's different, he certainly is. Well, what is the principle by which he lived? We turn to the book of Jude for help a moment ago. If we turn to the book of Hebrews, just briefly, then we will find the principle by which he lived. He is mentioned in that great catalogue of men and women who lived by faith in chapter 11. Abel, Enoch and Noah lived by faith. That section, verses 4 to 7, concerns those three men. Faith was the principle by which he lived. To walk with God meant that he daily trusted and obeyed his God and his word. He knew God, he loved God, he trusted his promises. Although they were far fewer in number than the rest of the scriptures, what he had, he lived by. And he obeyed this God. And he had a testimony, we read in Hebrews 11 verse 5. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Why did he please God? Because he was a man who trusted and obeyed God. The writer to the Hebrews goes on in verse 6 to tell us, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that is what characterized Enoch. There is the secret. He believed that God was there. He believed that God was real. He wasn't a figment of imagination. He wasn't someone that he referred to on odd occasions when he was in dire straits. But he believed that God was there, and he walked with this God. He knew him. He loved him. He served him. He trusted him. He obeyed him. He knew that God was a rewarder of all those who diligently seek him. Later on in that chapter, it's described as describing Moses. Moses saw him who is invisible. How can you see someone who is invisible? You see by faith. Enoch lived by faith in God who is invisible. He had his word. He had his promises. And he lived a life in fellowship then with God. And that is what set him apart from his generations. Set him apart from wickedness, from those before him, those he lived with, and those who came after him. You go back to Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve sinned. What happened? Their trust in God and their obedience to God fell apart. They rebelled against God's authority. They began to question God's word, the truth. They listened to the lies of Satan, who twisted and perverted the words of God. They began to question God's goodness, following the lead that the serpent had given to them. And then they denied the truth of God's word. And when that sort of thing happens, disaster strikes, not only the human race, but each individual in the human race. Because it means that you are living as though God was not there. As if God had not spoken. As if God had not spoken the truth. Our Bibles tells us that it is wicked to suppress the truth about God. But Enoch did not do that. He was a man of faith who trusted in God and who obeyed God. He knew him. He walked with him. And that was his constant delight and desire. That is what marked him out. He walked with God because the principle by which he lived was by faith. You see, if you reject trusting and obeying God, then you cut the lifeline which links you to your Creator. If you turn away from God's word, if you reject God and his word and his truth, then your life will lose its meaning and direction and purpose. You will end up wondering why you are here. And you will have no answers to your own sin, and certainly no answers to why you must die. But Enoch had answers to all those things. Why? Because he knew and trusted God. And he walked with God. He walked in willing obedience. He submitted to God's word. He delighted in God. He recognized God's goodness towards him. His heart was full of thankfulness to God for his promises. He trusted in God, and he loved and served God. Does that describe you? Does that describe the kind of person you are? The kind of life that you live? Are you a man? Are you a woman? Are you a boy? Are you a girl of faith in God? Is it your desire? Is it your care? Is it your delight to know this God and to walk with him? Is that the thing which is of greatest importance to you? Not just simply today, but tomorrow and every single day of your life. Is that what marks you out? If not, the Bible tells us and tells you that you are without God and without Christ and without hope in this world. That is the stark reality. Enoch was different. He walked with God. But listen further, because his faith was clearly displayed, finally, in the reward that he received. In verse 24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That's a very strange phrase, isn't it? It's quite deliberate. It stands out. It marks him out as different. It's dramatic. Again, the writer, Moses, of this book of Genesis has chosen his words deliberately and carefully. Instead of saying Enoch died, as all the others did before him and after him, he says he was not, because God took him. He walked with God, and then one day, 365 years old, God removed him. God took him from the earth. Suddenly, it was an exception. It was remarkable. It was supernatural. It was an act of God. He did not die. God took him. Took him into his presence. You remember how Paul described it in Philippians. You know, to die is gain, because you go to be with Christ, which is far better. But Paul died before he went to Christ. And if Christ does not return, you and I will die. If we are trusting in Christ, we will die before we go to be with Christ, which is far better. But Enoch didn't. Enoch didn't die of sickness and disease. There was no burial, because there was no death. He was translated from this world. He was removed from this world of sin and sorrow and death and went to heaven. He did not see death. He did not die and return to dust. He was removed by God and went to be with God, which was the delight of his heart. There's only one other man in the scriptures that we know of who did not die. He went to heaven in a chariot. Elijah, the prophet. And the only other people who will not die are those who will be alive when Christ comes in glory. And they will be taken to be with Christ and then glorified together with Christ. You read of them in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. You see, that was his reward. That was Enoch's reward. He did not undergo and experience death. One day he was alive on the earth, the next day he was alive in heaven. God took him. You say, can you explain that to me? No, I can't. Possible. I cannot explain that act of God. But I believe it, because that's what God's word says. This was his reward. He had not lived as other men, and he did not die as other men. He went into the presence of his God, with whom he had walked all his life. We say, well, why did that take place? Why was Enoch removed in that particular way? I would say there are two reasons. These things happen in order to tell us something about our God. The first reason, I believe, is this. It shows us the power of God. The power of God over sin and death. Remember how we described the days of Enoch. There were days when death was universal, sin was universal. The world was wicked. And here it is recorded in Scripture. One day he was not. God removed him. God took him. It shows the power of God. That is why God did it. It's in order to instruct us, to comfort us, and to tell us that sin and death is not the end. That God has power. And we read on in our Bibles that if God does not remove us as he removed Enoch from this world, we now have one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been raised from the dead. And we shall be raised from the dead. We who trust in Jesus Christ, we shall one day be raised from the dead to be with him and like him. And what is that a demonstration of? The power of God. The power of the resurrected Christ. But here is the power of God. But I will also say there's something else here about God that this tells us. Not only that God has power to do this, but God shows his mercy and his kindness to Enoch. Here is a comfort to us who live now after the days of Enoch. Here is something to encourage us and to instruct us. Not only the power of God, but the mercy of God in the world of sin, where sin is spreading like wildfire and no one seems to be restraining it. That God can take care of those who belong to him. Do you think if you seek to walk with God, that God then takes no note of that? That is not important to him. He is a father. He is a father. And he loves those who walk with him. So he does not abandon them in this world where sin and death reigns. So you have the power of God and you have the mercy of God. Satan, you see, does not have the last word. Satan is the one who has the power of death, or so he thinks. We read in our Bibles, in Adam all die, and that is true. But in Christ, and in Christ alone, we are made alive. So you see then, at a time when sin seems to be gaining the upper hand, where death is universal, sin is universal, and the world is getting worse and worse and worse, God intervenes and shows his power and shows his mercy. And that builds up our faith and our confidence then in our God. That same God, that same power, that same mercy is given to all who know and trust in Jesus Christ, his Son. All who know God the Father and know Jesus Christ, all who have eternal life. All those who have come to Christ and whose sins have been forgiven for his sake. Because Christ died on that cross to atone for our sins. And in the light of that power and that mercy of God, that is a comfort and an encouragement to the people of God here and now, thousands of years after Enoch, to go on walking with God. However much it costs you, and for some of you that is costly, in your place of work, and even in your own home, your own four walls. It means you're going to be different. But go on being different. Go on walking with God, and you will receive your reward. You have your reward now, and you will have your reward in full. To have God as your portion, to have God as your strength, to have God as your Father, to have a God who cares for you and protects you and guides you is worth more than all the silver and gold in this world. To have Christ is to be rich. And rich beyond comparison. But what happened to Enoch is also a warning. It's a warning to anyone who remains hard-hearted, to anyone who remains unbelieving. Because you see here in this chapter that God takes note of how people live, and he will honor those who honor him. Would you want to be like Cain? Would you want to be like Lamech? These two men died, as far as we know, in their sin. Enoch was a prophet. He preached judgment upon ungodliness. The Lord Jesus Christ was the same. He preached about the judgment of God upon those who refused to believe upon him and refused to come to him. And he wept over Jerusalem because they would not come to Christ. And he feared and he trembled because of the judgment that would come to them. Now, I am pretty certain that everybody sitting here would say to me, if I asked you, and I'm asking you the question now, do you want to go to heaven? And you would say, of course I want to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. I desire that happiness. I desire to be set free from the burdens and cares and concerns of this world. But do you know what that heaven is like? Paul describes it as obtaining a crown of righteousness. Paul describes it as being with Christ and being like Christ. Now, I don't doubt your desire to go to heaven, but I have a sincere doubt, and I believe it's a genuine doubt, that every single one of you will get to heaven. Why do I say that? That seems harsh, doesn't it? Seems a little severe. But unless a great change takes place in your heart and in your life, you will never attain to heaven. Unless you come to Jesus Christ and have eternal life through him and begin, like Enoch, to walk with God, you will not walk with God in heaven. He will set himself against you and cast you out and not allow you entrance into heaven. It is for those who are walking with God, for those who trust God, for those who obey God, for those who love God, and those who have come to his Son, Jesus Christ. Who will enter heaven? Those who are like Enoch. Enoch and all the saints of God who love and obey and trust God. There is only one way to heaven. It's through faith in Jesus Christ. We read of those who lived by faith. We've referred to it in Hebrews chapter 11. But really, the break in the chapter into chapter 12 ought not to stop the flow of thought, because the writer speaks there in chapter 12 of laying aside every weight, the sin that easily ensnares us, and running with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Are you running the race with endurance? Are you running that race looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith? That is how Enoch lived. And the day, I almost said the day he died. He didn't die. The day he was removed was the day when he then set eyes upon Jesus Christ. He had run his race 365 years. So I come back and ask you the question, are you walking with God? Do you possess so much as 1 ounce of that faith? Of that faith that characterized this man Enoch? Some of you may still think, well, I'm going to make heaven. You will not make heaven if you go on in the sin of unbelief and if you harden your heart. The Bible condemns sin and tells us that the wages of sin is death. And I've said before, and I will say again, that the worst way to die is to die in your sins. Unforgiven. With no repentance. and no trusting in Jesus Christ. That is a fatal thing. I'm concerned for you. I'm concerned for those of you who are younger. You think, well, I've got many years to live. Who says? Young people do die, you know. They do die. Don't delay. Don't harden your heart. Satan will do his utmost to keep you away from Christ. When should you come to Christ? Do you wait until you reach a certain age? You come to Christ now, today. Right now, you can come to Christ as a sinner and cast yourself upon Jesus Christ and begin to walk with God like Enoch. Are you older? My friends, some of you have many grey hairs. Some of you are weak and frail. Perhaps your days here upon this earth are short. You do not know. But what a disaster it would be if the next step you take were a step into hell and not into heaven. My heart is heavy. My heart is heavy at the very thought that may be true for some of you. I do not want to see you go to hell. I do not want to see you on that judgment day weeping and sorrowful. I tell you now, the way of salvation is faith in Jesus Christ, fleeing from the wrath that is to come. You have a Savior, Jesus. Come unto me, he said, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He pleads, why will you die? Why will you go on in your sin? What folly, what stupidity. When I am here to save you, to wash you and make you clean and open the door of heaven to you. Jesus said, I will cleanse you from your sins. You come to me and you will have eternal life. You hunger and thirst. He says, I'll satisfy your hunger and I will satiate your thirst. I will give you life. And you will walk with God. Enoch walked with God. He was not, for God took him. That power and that mercy of God is displayed fully in Jesus Christ. His power joined with pity. Power and mercy. Jesus Christ is kind, ready, willing, and able to cleanse you from your sin, to pardon you, and to bring you ultimately then to heaven with him. Remember Enoch. He was one of the very first who walked with God. May we learn, like him, to walk with our Maker. Our God. Amen. We thank you, our God, that in a world where sin and death reigns, your power and your mercy is displayed in order that sinners like us may be saved through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the pattern of life displayed by Enoch, and we pray that we may learn, like him, to walk with God and find all our delight and satisfaction in him and pleasing him and serving him. We thank you and magnify the mercy that has opened our eyes. Lord, have mercy upon those still in their sin. Be pleased, Lord, to show them the way of life in Jesus Christ and draw them to Christ. Lord Jesus, we pray, give them eternal life according to your promise. Where we pray in his name. Amen.
Amen.